is Mishnayis Masechta Beya, we're up to Perek Gimel, Mishneches. Oimer Odom Lechaveroi, a person has a right to say to his friend, here it could even mean Yestorkeeper, that Magali Klize, like please fill me up this vessel. In other words, let's say you need wine or you need oil, so you're allowed to go to your friend or to the storekeeper on Yom Tov, as long as you're not going to pay money for it, and you're allowed to tell him, please fill me up this vessel full of wine. Avoloi b'mida, but you're not allowed to do it with a measure. In other words, you're not allowed to tell him, give me a complete pint, give me a half a pint. You can't say the measure. Rabbi Yehuda says, im hoya kli shamida, let's say this was a vessel that was used for measuring. Like it had signs on it. Here's a pint, here's a quart. So lo yemalenu. Then you're not allowed to fill up this vessel, even though you did not mention to him to give you a pint or to give you a quart. As long as this vessel is a measuring cup, if you don't, you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. So this is the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, that the Tanakhama holds you're allowed to use the measuring cup as long as you do not mention that you want an exact a measure. You're not allowed to say, please fill me up a quart's worth. As long as you don't mention the measure, you're allowed to use this cup. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, if this is a cup, a vessel, that is a measuring one, you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. Then the Mishnah says, Mais had once happened the case, Ba'ab Shoel ben Botnis, Shehoye Mamala Midoisav Ne'erav Yom Tov. He used to fill up the jugs full of oil from before Yom Tov. And V'noisnon L'lakuchois B'Yom Tov. He would give it to the people on Yom Tov. In other words, he told you not to let him measure it out on Yom Tov. So therefore, he used to fill up the measuring cup before Yom Tov to have it ready to give out to people on Yom Tov. Abishol says, Afa ba moyed oisen kein. Even on Chol HaMoyed, also you should do this. You should prepare these jugs of oil at the night time before the people come to buy it the next day. Why? Mipnei beirurei hamidos. In order to keep an exact measure, to keep a correctness of the measures. And the reason is because on Chol HaMoyed, a lot of people come to buy these jugs of oil. And usually the person doesn't have enough time to pour off an exact amount. So here the person wants a complete quart, and you may not give it to him. You may be in a rush, you may not pour enough, there may be a foam on top. So therefore, in order to make sure that you're selling the exact measure, you should prepare it the night time. In order by the next day when people come in, you'll have them all ready. The Chachamim say, Af b'chol oisim kein. Even in the middle of the weekday, you should also do like this. Mipnei mitzoy hamidus, in order to drain the measures. And the same thing, that by pouring off the oil, it takes a while until it all settles down. You have to make sure there's no foam on top or it's not flowing over. So and people don't have enough time to do that. They're in a rush. So therefore, even in the weekdays, it's kedai to fill up the measures at night time, and they'll settle down over the night. So the next morning, you'll have a complete amount to give out for that day. Now, Hoylich Adam Eitzel Chendvini Harogel Etzlei. On Yom Tov, a person is allowed to go to the storekeeper that's familiar with him, that he knows. The Oymelo, and you can tell him like this. Tainli Beitzim, please give me some eggs. I need eggs today for Yom Tov. Ve'agoyzim, and give me some nuts. The minion. I could say like I need a dozen eggs. I need a dozen nuts. Even though you're mentioning the amount, still Yitzokei and Yom Tov. Shekein derech balabayis liyosmoyna b'tech beisai. Because that's the way even a private person talks in his house. He says, give me a dozen eggs. So therefore, it does not look as if you're buying it off the storekeeper now, but just that's the way people talk. Please give me a dozen eggs. Therefore, you're even allowed to ask the chenveni to give you a dozen eggs or to give you a dozen nuts. And the chiddush is that I do not say this is called like Mekach HaMemcher. I do not say it's considered like you're buying on Yom Tov, even though you're mentioning the amount, but still, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Since it's a derech of the Balabayas to talk this way in the house, it does not look as if you're buying it now on Yom Tov. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, Ha-Mevi Kadayayin Mimokam Lamokam. If someone is carrying pitchers of wine from place to place, now we're talking about on Yom Tov, it's Lo Yevi'im B'Salu B'Kupa. He's not allowed to put like a few pitchers of wine in one basket or in a hamper, because it looks like uvdu d'chayil, looks like something you're doing business with. Avul mevi you ak seifei, but you're allowed to carry the pitchers of wine on top of your shoulder, oil of fun of or else in front of you. V'chein, and the same type of halacha applies, ha-moylech es ha-tevin, if somebody is transporting straw, is lo-yav sheles ha-kupel yachuruf. If you have the straw in a basket, you're not allowed to put the basket on your back, because again, it looks like uvdu d'chayil. Avul mevi yehu v'yodai, but you're allowed to carry it in front of you in your hands. Now another halacha is u'maschilin b'yareimas ha-tevin. You're allowed to start using straw from a stack of straw. In other words, even though you didn't start to use this stack yet, so maybe I would think it's muksa. Kamashmala, no. You're allowed to start to use a new stack of straw on Yom Tif if you want to use the straw for burning purposes, if you're going to use it now for Yom Tif. Avoloi v'yetzim sheba muksa. But you're not allowed to take wood, which is in the backyard. Wood in the backyard, that's like muksa. If you didn't start to use it before Yom Tif, we say it's muksa, so such wood you cannot take to use on Yom Tif. Mishnah Beis. A noitlim eitzim min ha-sukkah. You can't take wood off a sukkah, off a hut on Yom Tif. It doesn't only mean als mitzvah sukkah, any type of a hut, because there's an issur stira. You're not allowed to take off wood like from a house or from a hut on Yom Tif. Al elo min ha-somachlo. But something nearby the hut that you're allowed to. As long as it's not attached to it, there would not be an issur stira taking it off on Yom Tif. Now, mevi'in eitzim min ha-soda, you're allowed to collect wood from a field, min ha-machunas. If the wood was gathered together already, so therefore it's like mukhin, it's prepared to use, it's not muksa, you're allowed to use it. Or min ha-karfif, but if you want to take wood from a karfif, that's an enclosure, then afilu min ha-mafuzer. Even if the wood is scattered out there, you're still allowed to collect it to use it on Yom Tif. Now, ezeyo karfif, what's called an enclosure that you're allowed to take the wood, even though it's spread out? Kol shesomach li'ir. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda holds, as long as the karfif is near the city, so it's considered like you have in mind to use it for Yom Tif. Therefore, it's not muksa, it's like mukhin. Rabbi Yossi says, kol shenichnostin loy ba'poisachas. As long as you need a key to get in there, in other words, you keep it locked, then avafilu b'toich tchum Shabbos. Even though it's very far away, but it's in the distance of a Tchum Shabbos, it's also considered Mukhin, therefore you could use it for Yom Tif. It's not Muksa. Mishnah Gimel. Ein mevakin eitzim, you're not allowed to chop wood, loy min ha-kairis, not from beans, for loy min ha-kairis shenishkura b'Yom Tif, and not even from a bean that broke on Yom Tif. Because the kaira, these are very expensive beans, that's considered Muksa, it's like Muksa machmech sar and kis, you set it aside not to use for burning purposes. Therefore, it's muksa, you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tif. And even if the beam broke on Yom Tif itself, even though now that it's broken, you're supposed to use it for burning purposes, but since at the beginning of Yom Tif, it was a good beam, so it's like muksa at the beginning of Yom Tif, it remains muksa for the whole Yom Tif, you're not allowed to use that wood for burning purposes on Yom Tif. Now, secondly, v'ein mevakin, when you do chop wood, wood that's not muksa, wood that you're allowed to use for burning purposes, still, loy bekardam, you're not allowed to split it with an axe, for loy bemagera, not with a sword, for loy bemagel, not with a sickle. As these things are kli umin, these are things that the umin, a professional person uses these things, therefore you should not use it on Yom Tif. But rather, elo bekoifetz, only with the big knife that we use to chop meat with. That's what a person uses in the house to chop his meat, so that's not considered a kli uman that you're allowed to use to chop wood with on Yom Tif. Now, bayis shuhumole peris. If you have a house that was full of peris, sosum, it was closed, like you lost the lock, you lost the key, and the door was locked, you couldn't get in. V'nivchas, now a place of the wall broke in, and there's a hole now that you can get into this house. So locher is noito mimokam apchas. You're allowed to take the food out of the house from this broken place, and we do not consider it like a smuksa, even though you were not able to get in there, since the food itself is edible, so it's not considered muksa. Therefore, if a hole became in the wall, you're allowed to use that hole to go inside and take out the peris. Rabbi Meir says, af poiches lachatchil v'noito. You're even allowed to go and break a hole in the wall in order to take the food out. And the Gemara explains, we're talking about where the bricks were not cemented down, so therefore there's not a real stira here, therefore it's mutlach atchilo letzarech yomtiv. Yeah, Mishnah Dalet. Ein peischin es haner. You're not allowed to hollow out a lamp on yomtiv. Mifnei shuois a kli, because that's considered you're making a kli, you're making a utensil, which is also to do. So therefore, if you have this kli cheres, this earthly kli like a clay, you're not allowed to hollow it out to make it a place, to make it a lamp that you could put shemen and light it there. V'yein oisin b'chomim b'yomtiv. You're not allowed to make charcoal on yomtiv either, because charcoal is also considered like a kli, something you could use later for lighting purposes. V'yein choitchin es hapsila lishnayim. You're not allowed to cut the wick into two on yomtiv. Now it's considered you're making a kli. Right now it's one wick. For you to cut it in the middle to make it for two different wicks, that would be an issa of an asiyas kli. Rabbi Yehuda says, choitcha b'ur lishtei neiros. You're allowed to cut this long wick in half, you know how, if you light it there. If you put it in there, you put fire there, so the fire burns it, so it looks like you're just using it for two neiros. Therefore, it does not look like you're making two wicks out of it. This would be mutter to do even on yontif. Mishnah Hey, Ein shoivrin es hacheres. You're not allowed to break a cheres, that's an earthly kli, or else v'yein choitchin es hanior. You're not allowed to cut a piece of paper. Litzlois boi maliach. Even though you're now roasting a salted fish, and the purpose is that you want to put oil around it that it shouldn't burn. So the way they did it was they put the paper in oil, or they put the earthly kli in oil and smeared it onto the roasted fish. Still, you're not allowed to cut the paper or break the earthly kli on yomtiv, because it's considered like you're making a new kli. It's called an asiyas kli, like the Mishnah before. So this is also to do on yomtiv. V'yein gorfin tana v'kirayim. You're not allowed to clean out, rake out all the coals from an oven or from a stove on yomtiv, because also this is considered asiyas kli. You're being misak and you're fixing the oven by cleaning out all the coals. That's also to do on yomtiv. Avu mechabshin. But you're not to level it out. Just press it down. If you have a lot of coals in the oven and you want to just press them down, that's mutter to do on yomtiv. That's not considered like an asiyas kli, like you're making something new. V'yein makifin shtei chovyus. You're not allowed to put together two barrels, one next to another. Lishpois aleim es hagedera. In order to put the pot on top of these two barrels. Like you want to have the fire burning in between these two barrels, and then you put the pot on top. So this is also midrabbanan, because also it looks like a binyan. It looks like you're building on yomtiv, the fact you're putting these two barrels next to one another and then putting a pot on top of them. V'yein samchin es hakadera bevakas. You're not allowed to support a pot on top of a beam, but bevakas, that's a piece of wood, which is muksa. So you're not allowed to be mishtamish, you're not allowed to use muksa on yomtiv, therefore you can't support this pot on top of such wood. V'chein bedelis, the same thing with the door. And the pshat is because wood on yomtiv really is muksa. The only purpose you're allowed to use wood is only for burning, if you want to make a fire with it, to cook with it. But here that you just want to lean a pot on top of the wood, that's muksa, so you're not allowed to do this on yomtiv. The same thing with the door, this door is muksa, you're not allowed to put the pot on top of the delis. Now, v'yein manhigin es ha-behema ba-makel b'yomtiv. You're not allowed to lead an animal with a stick on yomtiv, because it looks like you're taking it to the marketplace to sell them, and you're not allowed to sell animals on yomtiv. However, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Mater, he holds it's mutter to lead your animals, even though you're holding a stick. He doesn't know from this gezeira, it does not look like you're going to sell it in the marketplace. Mishnah Vov, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Noitel Odom Kisa Mishalafonov, a person is allowed to take a small piece of wood, to use it for toothpick, Lachts Mishalafonov, that's in front of him, Lachts Hersbashinov, to clean out his teeth. Now, Mishalafonov means only what's right in front of you in your house, like there it's Muchen, it's prepared, it's not like Muksa. Now, Ulnagadev Minhachotzer, you're allowed to collect together small pieces of wood from your courtyard, from your chotzer, or Madlik, and you're allowed to use it on Yomtiv to burn with it. That's what wood is aimed for. Wood usually on Yomtiv you use for burning purposes. And the reason is shekol ma shebachotzer muchenu. Anything you have in your chotzer, in your courtyard, is prepared from before yomtiv that you plan to use it on yomtiv. Therefore, it's not muksa, you're allowed to use it. However, the Chachamim Oimrim, the Chachamim say, Megavev Mitchalafonov Umadlik. The Chachamim argue on 2 points against Rebbe Eliezer. The Chachamim say, first of all, Megavev Mitchalafonov. Even when you're going to collect the wood, the small splinters of wood from your chotzer, your courtyard, it's only mutter what's right in front of you, not from the whole courtyard. What's not in front of you remains muksa, you're not allowed to collect it together. And secondly, the Chachamim say, a kisum, you want to take like a splinter of wood, just used for a toothpick, that's also. You can't use it to clean out your teeth, because the Chachamim hold that wood is really a muksa. You're only allowed to use it for the purpose of burning. So if you want to use it for burning, you're allowed to. But to use the wood to clean out your teeth, that's also. Your Mishnah Zion. Ein moitzien es ha'ur. You're not allowed to like produce fire. Loy min eitzim, not from wood, by rubbing 2 pieces of wood together on Yom Tov. Veloy min avodim, not from stones, to rub stones together. Veloy min ofor, and not from the earth. Veloy min amayim, and not from water. And that would be, let's say you have a glass full of water, and you put it near the sun when the sun shines through, and you have a piece of paper on the bottom of it, that could cause fire. So you're not allowed to produce fire on Yom Tov, that's an isser of moilid. You're like creating something new. Now, v'yein melavnen es harofim, you're not allowed to heat up tiles. Litzlois behen, in order to roast upon them. And the Gemara says, we're talking about rofim, these tiles, these are earthly tiles that were new ones. And therefore, the first time you heat them up, you like strengthen them. Therefore, consider like you're making a kli on Yom Tov. Therefore, ein melavnin, you're not allowed to heat up tiles the first time on Yom Tov. The Oid Amar Rebbe Eliezer, another thing Rebbe Eliezer said, that I made Adam ala muksa. A person is allowed to stand on muksa. Muksa here means food that he set aside, let's say, to dry up. He has dates that he spread them out on his roof to dry out. So right now it's muksa. You don't have intentions of eating it until after it dries out. Now he wants to have in mind to eat them tomorrow on Yom Tov. So he's allowed to stand up there on his roof over the muksa before Yom Tov. And we're talking about now Erev Shabbos Bashrius. It's Erev Shabbos, but it's talking about the year, the seventh year of Shemitah, that you do not have to take off Trumas and Maisrus. Therefore, you're allowed to eat them if it wouldn't be a problem for Muksa. And the Omer, the person has to say like this, Mikan an Yechol Mochor, from here, from these dates, I want to eat tomorrow. Now, if he didn't say this, then these dates are Muksa, because they're set aside to dry out, not to be eaten right now. So if he changes his mind and he wants to eat them, he has to speak this out before Shabbos to take away the Issa Muksa. The Chachamim Oimrim, the Chachamim say, Ad Sheyirshim. It's not enough just to say it, but you have to mark off exactly the Yomer and say, Mikan V'yakan. From here until here, exactly these amount of dates I plan to eat tomorrow on Yom Tov. But just saying that I plan to eat from here, that's not enough to take off the Issa Muksa. According to Chachamim, you have to be more exact, and making a sign exactly where you plan to eat tomorrow. Now we're up to Perakei. Mishnah Aleph. Mashilin Peirois Derech Aruba B'Yomtev. You're allowed to lower down produce like through like a skylight on Yomtev. If you have an Aruba, you have a window on your roof, so you're allowed to lower down Peirois, fruits, through the window on Yomtev. Even though it's a question of Tircha, there's a lot of bother involved. Still, you're allowed to. Avaloi b'Shabbos. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to. It's considered like too much bother to do on Shabbos, therefore it's also. Now, umechasin peiros, you're allowed to cover up your fruits by kelim with kelim, if neha delif. Now, delif means there's a leak, that water is dripping down from the roof into the house. So it's like water that may ruin the fruits. So if you don't want the water to ruin the fruits, you're allowed to cover up your fruits on Yom Tov. And the Chiddush is, even though these fruits are muksa, they were set aside not to be used, still you're allowed to protect them, they should not be ruined on Yom Tov. V'chein, the same thing applies, kada yayin v'kada shemen. If you have a barrel of wine or a barrel of oil, that the rainwater is falling in to these barrels, you're allowed to cover them up on Yom Tov. Even though the barrels also are muksa, could be the like tevil, you do not take off the trumas and maisos yet, you're not allowed to eat from it, still you're allowed to protect them on Shabbos by covering them up with a kli. If you have this rainwater that's coming in, there's a leak in the roof, and it's like making the whole house floody, so you're allowed to put a kli underneath it, like a bucket, that the water should only fall into the bucket.
And then when the bucket gets filled up, you're allowed to empty it out and bring it back in again. In the Gemara, it's a machlokes. Some say we're only talking about that this rainwater that's dropping down is clean water, that the water is still drinkable. Therefore, it's not a question of making the kli muksa. Therefore, you're allowed to do this. Other shittas are no, even if the water is dirty, still, once the kli becomes filled up, you're allowed to empty it out because it's a graf sharei. It's something that's very dirty, you can't take, it's disgusting, that you're allowed to clean, take out of the house. However, here the Mishnah says that you're allowed to put a bucket underneath the dripping water from the roof to protect, to save your house. Mishnah Beis. Kol shechayovim olav mishum shvus. Anything that's also to do, mishum shvus, means that the Rabbanin said you should rest on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Something that the Rabbanin said to rest, not to do it. Or else, now, mishum rishus, whether it's something that it's not a mitzvah. Now, rishus means if you want to, you could do it, if not, not. Or else, mishum mitzvah, even if it's something that's really a mitzvah to do, but Shabbos on Shabbos. Mishum mitzvah by Shabbos, even though it's a mitzvah. But the Chum said, rest, and do not do this on Shabbos. Means all the shvus, all the yisur, the rabbonins, that's also to do on Shabbos. So the Mishnah is saying now, chayovim olav b'yom tov. The same mitzvah applies to Yom Tov also. You're not allowed to do it mid rabbonin. The Eduhei Mishum Shvus. These are the things that's also Mishum Shvus that Chum said to rest and don't do it. In other words, that there's no tzad mitzvah involved, just rest and do not do this. So what are these halachis? Loy oilun bilun. You're not allowed to climb up a tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, because we're afraid maybe you pull off a branch. For loy roichvin agavi behema. You're not allowed to ride on top of an animal on Yom Tov or Shabbos, because also we're afraid maybe you pull off a branch. V'loy shotin al pnei hamayim. You're not allowed to swim in the river on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And the Gemara says the Gzeiras were afraid maybe you come to make a raft. So therefore it's also to swim on Shabbos or Yom Tov. V'loy metavchim. So that means you're not allowed to clap your hands on Yom Tov or Shabbos when they're singing to a special beat, to a special music. So you're not allowed to clap your hands, because as a gzera, maybe you come to fix the musical instruments. For loy misafkin, you're not allowed to slap your hands on your thighs, also the same reason. For loy meraktin, not allowed to dance on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So there are some people that are makbir, that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, they do not dance, or they do not clap their hands. However, in the Aruch HaShulchan, he wants to give a little ksas heter, and he says that this only applies in the Gemara's times, when they used to really dance to a special way, to a special music, to the beat like, or they would clap their hands a special way. Then we're afraid, if the music will stop, they would bother them, and they would go to fix the cliché. However, the way we dance, just walking around, with our little clapping the hands, there is a tzas kula. However, there are some people that are still machmer and say that if you want to clap your hands on Shabbos and Yom Tov, try and do with the tzas shinui. Try and clap your hands, backwards. Now the Mishnah says, V'elohen mishum rishus. These are the things that's also mishum rishus. That means that there's a ksas mitzvah involved, but not a complete mitzvah. What is this? Loidonin. Bezdin is not allowed to paskin a din on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Bezdin does not stay open on Shabbos or Yom Tov. V'loy mekadishin. You're not allowed to get married. You can't make a kedushin on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Midrabonin. V'loy choltsin. You can't make a chalitza in a case where the brother-in-law died. And now, the brother that's alive now does not want to make Yibum marry her, but he wants to give a chalitza, take off the shoe and spit in front of her, so that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov or Shabbos. And the same thing for Loi Miyavmin. In a case where one brother died and he didn't have any children, says the mitzvah Yibum, that the other brother that's alive is supposed to marry the brother's wife. So you're not allowed to marry her on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now these are called Rishus because it's a ksas mitzvah, but not a complete mitzvah. Now, v'elohei mishum mitzvah. These are things that's a real mitzvah in doing it, and still the Rabbanan said, do not do these things on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. Loi magdishin. You're not allowed to be makdish anything, to make a korban, give something over to Hegdish. You're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. For loi marichin, you can't say so it means to value how much you're worth, and how much you're worth you want to give over to Hegdish. You want to give it like tzedakah to Hegdish. You're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov. You can't make your property cherim. That's also a type of giving it over to Hegdish, that it goes to the Kahanim. You're not allowed to take off trumais or maisers on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, kol eilu b'yom tov, all these isurim were said on Yom Tov, and kal v'choymer b'shabbos. for sure and for sure you're not allowed to do these things on Shabbos. And therefore the Mishnah says, Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Elo oichol nefesh bovad. Only food, what you want to eat. That on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to bake the food you want to eat on Yom Tov. Whereas on Shabbos, even that is also. But any other Yisurim besides cooking, besides oichol nefesh, the same way it's also on Shabbos, it's also to do on Yom Tov also. Now the reason why the Rabbanim made these gzeres is any type of a kinyan, where always, anytime you want to acquire something, there's always a gzera, maybe you come to write it down. And you're not allowed to write on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Therefore the Rabbanim made these Yisurim not to make kinyonim, not to make kedushin, not to make chalitza, not to make yibum, not to have a din, because we're afraid they'll come to write down things on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, the reason why we can't make a hegdish or marichin or machrimim on Yom Tov, here, because it looks like mekach memcher, it looks like you're doing business. Since you're taking it from one rishus to another rishus, you're taking it out of your property and giving it over to hegdish, it looks like you're doing business, and you're not allowed to do business. True, the issa business is also because it may become to write it down. But here it's doima to business, so Rabbanan said you cannot do this on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. And the reason why you cannot take off trumas and maisrus on Yom Tov or Shabbos, because it looks like you're being misakin, like you're fixing the food, like you're making a kli. Because before you take off the trumas and maisrus, you're not allowed to eat these fruits. Now that you take it off, you're allowed to, so it looks like you're fixing it. Therefore, the Rabbanan said it's also to do it on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. Now, Mishnah Gimel. Habehema vihakelim kiragle habailim. An animal and kelim utensils are like the feet of the owner. Now, this Mishnah is talking about the Issa of Tchum, that we know on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, you're not allowed to walk out of the Tchum of the city. So here we're talking about Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov you're allowed to carry, but you're only allowed to carry as far as you could walk. So the question is, these kelim and these animal, where is the Tchum? So the Mishnah says it goes after the owner. As far as the owner is allowed to walk, that's how far somebody else could take his animal or could take his utensil. But there's a difference. Let's say Ruvain made an Eruvei Tchumim. If you make an Eruv Tchumim, that means before Yom Tov you put the two lechems outside the city, so then you're allowed to walk on that side another 2,000 Amos. Like this, you're only allowed to walk 2,000 Amos each side of the city. If you put an Eruvei Tchumim, then you're allowed to walk another 2,000 Amos outside the city on that side. So let's say Ruvain made an Eruvei Tchumim, and he wants to walk now 4,000 Amos to the right side of the city, so he's allowed to. Let's say he wants to take along with him some utensils that belong to somebody else, and that other person did not make an Eruv Tchumim. So therefore the Mishnah is saying that this Ruvain is not allowed to take those utensils, those glasses with him, because the Kelim and the animals go after their own owner. So if the owner did not make an Eruv Tchumim, so the owner could only walk 2,000 Amos, therefore this Ruvain now, even though he's allowed to walk 4,000 Amos, he's not allowed to take these Kelim, these utensils with him. Now what's going to be Hamoyser Behemtoi Livnoi Oileroya? Let's say somebody gives over his animal to his son to watch on Yom Tov. He gives it over on Yom Tov. Or else Oileroya, he gives it over to the shepherd on Yom Tov. So the locher is still Hare Elu Karagli Habailam. Still the animal could only go as far as the owner himself could go. Karagli Habailam, like the feet of the owner. In other words, if you would give it over before Yom Tov to your son or to the Roya, to the shepherd, then we would say that the animal has the locher like the Roya. So as far as the Roya is allowed to walk, that's how far these animals could go with him. But here, since the owner first gave it over to them on Yom Tov itself, so it comes out at the beginning of Yom Tov, the animals were still in the Rishus of the owner, therefore these animals could only go on Yom Tov as far as the owner could go. If the owner cannot go further, cannot go more than 2,000 Amos, even though this Roya made an Eruv Tchumim, and even though the Roya, the shepherd, would be able to walk 4,000 Amos, still he's not allowed to take this animal with him. What about the Mishnah says, Kelim ham yuchodim li'echod min ho'achin, sheva bayis. Let's say there are a few brothers living in the house together, and this is a coat that's set aside for one brother, or else it's a glass, whatever, it's a barrel, but it's set aside, it's in the yuchod, for one brother. Then the halacha is, harei elu karaglov, that as far as this one brother is allowed to walk, if he put an eruv tchumim, that he's allowed to walk 4,000 amos today on Yom Tov, so he's allowed to take this coat with him. He's allowed to take this glass with him. Since it's his, it's something separated for him, therefore it has a halacha like his feet, as far as he could walk,
He could take these kelim with him. But what's going to be v'shein miyuchadim? Let's say there's a glass in the house that's not separated for anybody special, but all the four brothers use it together. Then the halacha is harei elu kimakayim shaluchim. Then this glass could only be taken as far as all of them have the right to go. We have to go to Churma as if all of them own this glass. So that's
all right, over.
So again, so we have to go to Churma as if all the brothers own this glass together. Therefore, let's say one brother made an Eruv Tchumim to the right side of the city, and the other brother made an Eruv Tchumim to go to the left side of the city. So therefore, this glass now cannot be taken out of the city at all, because the brother that made the Eruv to the right side, see, he is not allowed to walk at all to the left side of the city. He could only walk 4,000 Amis to the right side of the city. And the brother that made the Eruv to the left side of the city, he could only walk 4,000 Amis to the left side of the city. He cannot walk at all to the right side of the city. So therefore, this glass cannot be taken at all out of the city, because there's one brother that cannot go at all to the right side, and there's another brother that cannot go at all to the left side. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, that we have utensils in the house that, like all four brothers, share equally. It could only be taken to a place that all four of them could go there. But if there's a place that even one of them cannot go there, you're not allowed to take this glass or the utensil there. Now, Mishnah Dalit. Ha-shoyel kli mechaveroi. If somebody borrows a utensil from his friend, me'erev yomtev, from before yomtev, so then the locher is karagli ha-shoyel. This utensil could be taken as far as the shoyel, the one that borrowed it, can go. Since you borrowed it before yomtev, so at the beginning of yomtev, we consider it like it's yours. So therefore, as far as you're allowed to walk, you could take this utensil with you. What about the yomtev? Let's say you first borrowed a glass on yomtev itself. Then kirag le hamashil. This glass could only be taken, could only be carried as far as the lender could go, but not as far as the one that borrowed it. Because since you first borrowed it on Yom Tif, so we always look how it was at the beginning of Yom Tif. Since at the beginning of Yom Tif it belonged to the lender, so therefore it has to go according to the feet of the lender. Kirag le hamashil. Ho isha sheshoalo mechaverta. A lady that borrowed from her friend tfolim. She borrowed, let's say, spices, or else mayim and water, or melech and salt, li'isosa, to put into the dough that she's making now on Yom Tov. If a lady is making dough on Yom Tov, and she needs to add some salt, so she goes to a neighbor to borrow salt, or water, or spices from a friend, harei elu kirag le'shteyim. Now this dough could only be carried as far as both of them could walk. In other words, the actual dough, the flour, belongs to this lady. So the dough could only be taken as far as she's allowed to go. But since she also has ingredients here that came from her friend, so it looks as if her friend also has some ownership here, and therefore this bread, whatever it is, cannot be taken further than a place where both of them could go. Because we look as if this bread now belongs to both of them. Rabbi Yehuda poita b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says if the neighbor only lent you some water, that means nothing. Because water, we do not see the water in the dough. Like the water gets dried up, it's not really there. Same by mamish, there's nothing really there. There's no real substance there. Therefore, we don't look as far as the water is. So, if that's all this lady borrowed was just water from a friend, we say this dough can be taken as far as she can go. We don't look upon the friend, since the friend doesn't have any mamish, any real substance in this dough. Mishnehei, hadacheles. What about a burning coal? Is karagli habaylim. It also has the law that cannot be taken further than the feet of the owner. There's ownership to a burning coal, and it cannot be taken, the isatchum, further than the owner could go. Vishalhevis, what about flame itself? Pechomokam, the flame of the fire, just the flame, that can be taken any place you want. Like, let's say you have a candle, and you light your candle from the flame of your friend. So even though your friend cannot walk at all to the right side of the city, but if you're allowed to walk to the right side of the city, you're allowed to take this candle with you. Because Shalhevis flame does not have any ownership to it. It does not go after its owner. Therefore, whoever has it right now, he could take it wherever he can go. Ka'acheles shel hegdish. If you have a coal, a burning coal that belongs to hegdish, so moyalin bo,
whoever uses it and has enjoyment from it, he's over the Issa Mila. He's like taking enjoyment from Hegdish, that's an Avera, and he has to bring a Korban Mila because of that. However, Vishalhevis, let's say you just have enjoyment from a flame of Hegdish, Loi Nenin, so Lochriz Midirabonin, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to derive any enjoyment from even the flame that belongs to Hegdish. But for Loi Moilin, if you do take the enjoyment, you do light your candle from the flame of Hegdish, you're not over the Issa Mila. Again, because flame has no ownership to it, it's not really considered like Hegdish. Gachel ha-moitzi gacheles l'rishus rabim. If somebody carries out a coal to the Rishus Rabim on Shabbos, is chayiv, he's over Nisi D'Raisa. The Nisi so it's called you carried something from Rishus Yochot to Rishus Rabim, you're chayiv on Shabbos. But Vishalheves, a potter, let's say you carry out just the flame from Rishus Yochot to Rishus Rabim, let's say you like blow on fire and you cause it to go from Rishus Yochot to Rishus Rabim, just the flame itself travels, so potter, because we consider flame like Ein Boi Mamish. There's no real substance there. That's not called the Meleches Hoitzoh. You'd be potter on Shabbos. Bor Shel Yochid. Let's say a private ditch that has water inside it. So Karagli HaYochid. The water inside this ditch has the locha like the owner. And whoever goes to fetch water from this bor could only take it as far as the owner has a right to walk. Again, for the Yisot Chumim. That since there's a private owner to this bor of water, the water can only be taken as far as the owner could walk on Yontif. Vishal Anshe Oiso Ihoir, let's say it's a public bore of water, that whoever wants to has a right to come and take the water, then we say, Karagli Anshe Oiso Ihoir. It has the law for like the feet of the people living in the city. In other words, you're allowed to carry this water out of the city to all sides, only 2,000 amas, like a regular tchum of the city. Vishal Oile Bovel, what's going to be if they have a special bor of water that they used to set aside for the people that came up to the Eile Regel that came from Bovel? People that came from Bovel, Teretz Yisrael, so on the roads they used to have special ditches of water for them. So then the halacha is, Kiragli Hamamala. Whoever fetches the water, once he picks up the water, it's like he's kaina, the water belongs to him now. Because before that it was like Hefker. Now when he picks it up, it's becoming his water. So once he acquires it, therefore, the locker is this water can only be taken now to as far as the owner could walk. In other words, before this person picked it up, it was like Hefker. It did not have any halach of tchum. The water could have been taken any place. But now, as soon as the first person fetches the water, he owns the water. So now we look as if this water has the locker like the owner, that the water could only travel, be taken as far as the owner himself has the right to walk on Yom Tov. Now, Mishnah Vov. Somebody had his fruits in another city. That the second city was out of the tchum of your city. It was more than 2,000 amas out of your city. Let's say it was 3,000 amas away from your city. So, if you would have made an erev tchumim, then you would be allowed to walk there on Yom Tov. But we're talking about that the owner here in this city did not make an eruv tchumim. So the owner himself really cannot bring those peris to himself, because the peiros are outside his tchum, he cannot get there. Now, the ervu b'nei oiso yir. Let's say the people living in that city made an eruv tchumim. And now, since they plan to walk on Yom Tov from that city to here, they would like to do the person a favor and bring his peiros to him on Yom Tov. Lohavi etzlo meperosov. That they would like to bring to him his peiros now that's in the city that they're coming from. So the locher is lo yovi oloi. The people in that city is not allowed to bring the peiros to the real owner. That since the real owner did not make an eruv tchumim, so the real owner is not allowed to travel from his city to this city here. So since the owner is not allowed to travel from that city to this city, therefore the fruits are also not allowed to be taken from that city to this city, even though the people now that want to take it made an eruv tchumim. But since the owner did not, that's the halacha here, that the peiros go after the feet of the owner. But what's going to be the eruvu? Let's say the owner himself also made an Erev Tchumim, so the owner himself is allowed to walk from his city to that city, then Peres of Kamo, the Peres is like the owner, that it is allowed to be brought. So the people from that city, when they are traveling from their city to our city here, they are allowed to bring his Peres to him, since the owner himself made an Erev Tchumim. Mishneh Zayin. Mishe Zimen Etzle Ochem. Somebody invited a guest over to his house on Yom Tov.
and you invited them from the next city. So when they're coming to you, for sure they made an Erev Tchumim before Yom Tov. Like you made up with your friend that lives in the next city, that you're inviting him for the Suda, for Yom Tov in the morning. So that person made an Erev Tchumim before Yom Tov. So that person is allowed to walk from his city to your city. But the owner here in this city did not make an Erev Tchumim back to go there. So therefore, when the guest comes to your house, Yom Tov in the morning, now after the Suda, he walks home. So the locher is, lo yalichu biyodem amonos. He's not allowed to take any portion, like any leftover food, he's not allowed to carry back to his own city, even though he would plan to eat it either on the road or he plans to eat it still on Yom Tov when he reaches home, still he's not allowed to take it with him. Like we had before, since the food goes after the owner, so the owner here did not make an Erev Tchumim, since the owner himself is not allowed to walk out of the city, more than 2,000 amos, he cannot walk to the next city, which is 3,000 amos away. Therefore, this guest, even though the guest himself is allowed to walk home, but he cannot take food with him. Eleim can only if zicha lehem monaseya mi'erev Yom Tov. Only if the owner was makna, like gave over for present, the food to this guest from before Yom Tov. Then we consider like the food belonged to the guest from before Yom Tov. So then we say the food has the locha like the owner, like the guest. So as far as the guest could walk, that's how far he could take the food with him. But as long as this food belonged to the owner here at the beginning of Yom Tov. Now if you're just giving it to him on Yom Tov, we say nothing doing. We say the food goes after the tchum the way it belonged to the owner at the beginning of Yom Tov. So since at the beginning of Yom Tov, the owner here owned it, and he cannot walk to the next city, therefore this food is not allowed to be taken on Yom Tov to the next city. Now, ein mashkin, you're not allowed to water on Yom Tov, v'shechetin, or else to make a shchita, to shecht an animal, es ha-midbaris. Not animals that live out in the field, in the midbar. In other words, they're muksa. Animals that live in the field, that you did not take care to bring them in before Yom Tov, they're like muksa. They're set aside, you have no das to use them. Therefore, you're not allowed to water them, and you're not allowed to slaughter them on Yom Tov. Avo mashkin v'shechetin es ha-baisis. But you are allowed to, like, make a shchita on the domestic animals. The one that lives with you in the house. The one that stays with you in the house. They are considered like mukhin, they're prepared. Therefore, you're allowed to shech them or water them on Yom Tov. Now, Elohein Abaisos, what are considered domestic animals that stay home? Halonas beer. It means animals that, at night, stay in town. Midbarius, what's called animals that stay out? That's called Halonas Boafer. That at night time sleep in the pasture, they sleep out in the fields. So they're called midbarius, on them it's considered like muksa, you do not have das to use it, therefore you're not allowed to use it now on Yom Tov to shech them, to slaughter them, or to wash them, or to give them to drink. However, the animals that are baisois, the animals that live in the city, that you have das to use them, they're not considered muksa, therefore you're allowed to shech them, you're allowed to water them on Yom Tov. Aslika Mesechta Beyah.